Hey, thank you for listening to the City Lights Church podcast. We are a liturgical church in Scranton, Pennsylvania. We believe that Jesus has called us to live like him. I hope this message brings you hope, joy, and peace in Christ. Be blessed.
A reading from the Gospel of John. Now, among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loses his life, or loves his life, loses it. And whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Well, good morning, everyone. Wow, you guys. Kyle makes you guys respond in sermons last week, and now you're talking back to me. It's great. For those new, my name is Ben. I'm one of the pastors here. I'm always honored to be up here speaking. I want to encourage you. I don't know about you if you were here last week, but I was so blessed by Kyle's message. If you weren't here, let's give Kyle a round. We didn't give him, I know he's like, stop it. But like, I looked, at one point I was tearing up. At one point Ryan's tearing up, and then Jesse's up here crying, and I was like, what a great message. So if you didn't listen to that, go to our podcast, find it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts, or go to YouTube and re-listen to that message. It was really powerful, and thank you, Kyle, for sharing that with us. That was great. But we are nearing the end of Lent. Is anyone else excited for Easter? I am. Next week starts Holy Week, like Jesse mentioned, with Palm Sunday, and we are journeying towards the cross and the resurrection. And I find it funny, we've only been practicing Lent for 2 years here at City Lights Church, and I still, because of that, find myself in conversations with people who still don't quite understand Lent, and I'm always trying to explain it to them. And at some point on in the conversation, I always mention one thing, and their facial expression always changes. I'm always like, it's about death. And people are like, what? I always see that, I'm like, it's about our mortality, it's about death, it's about coming to terms with that. And it's, what an odd season. We're so used to Easter and a reminder of new life that we rush past the cross and death. And I realize death is not something we're comfortable talking about. In fact, it's funny, in this season of Lent, our song selection is supposed to be more like death-focused. And like whenever I preach, Eric's like, what songs do you want? I'm like, do you got anything on death? And there's not many out there. We just don't think in that concept of like church and death and focusing on the cross and death. And we look through our song catalogs, there's nothing. We are pretty uncomfortable with death. And I just finished reading Eugene Peterson's biography called The Pastor. Eugene Peterson's famous for his message Bible that's controversial. I love it. You should get one just to have. It's a paraphrase. It's great. But before he wrote that version, he was actually a pastor of a Presbyterian church in Maryland for 25 years. And near the end of his pastor, when he was moving on, seminary students met with him and they asked him, "Hey, what is your favorite part about being a pastor?" And he says, "Baptisms and funerals. One, a symbol of death, and one, actual death." And that became his favorite part of being a pastor. He goes on to tell a story about visiting with monks in New Mexico and walking the grounds of the monastery. And they're walking through the garden, and they look, and there's just an open grave. And he asked the monk he was with and said, "Hey, did someone just pass away?" And the monk said, "No, that's there to remind us that one of us is next." And so every day they walk past that grave three times, and they're reminded of death. And as Americans in the American church, we have sort of a widespread denial of like death and bad things. We are the opposite. But the metaphor of dying daily and an actual death is prevalent in the scripture. There's a lot of things about dying daily, and there's a lot of things about real death in the scriptures, and it's uncomfortable for us. And today, I want us to get a little comfortable with the thought of death. And no, I'm not going to bring out some Kool-Aid and some matching tracksuits for all of us. That's crazy. But I wanted us to think about what it looks like to die to ourselves. Nothing in me is comfortable with dying. But I believe the story of Jesus and his commands to us are important as we head into Holy Week next week. There's a few things that stuck out to me in this passage that I want to talk and share with you today. And number one thing is Jesus' ministry is just way different than what I would view ministry and life as. And this story starts with these two Greek men wanting to see Jesus. And this was Passover time. These main things to do at this time was to go to Jerusalem and hang out at the temple. It's a very holy time. But these Greek men wanted to see Jesus instead and not stay at the temple. It's funny here, we don't catch on to it that much, but these Greek men approach one of the only Greek named disciples. They find a guy with a Greek name. And then that guy goes finds the other disciple with the Greek name. It's just a funny thing. They're like, oh, we'll find the Greek, then we'll talk to the Greeks, and then the Greeks, people with Greek names will help us out. And they go together to find Jesus, and they tell him, hey, these Greek men want to meet with you. And I can imagine being those disciples, and my own excitement is like, hey, something's starting to happen. It's not just for us now. Like this, it's not just for the Jewish people, but other people outside of our faith are interested in you. This could be an awesome time. This is how we grow our ministry. This is how we grow our influence. This is how we take over Rome. We got people on our side that are part of our cause now. And I would want to go get them as fast as I could to share my message. To say, hey, go tell other people about us. But the disciples get to Jesus and he does something completely different. The story takes a massive turn. Instead of Jesus saying, well, this is great, we're growing influence, let's go get these Greek men and talk to them about our cause, he says, the hour has come and the Son of Man must be glorified. And he never goes, we never see him talk to the Greek men, which is funny. I was thinking, like, I experience this a lot at Walmart. Anyone hate shopping at Walmart? I hate shopping at Walmart. But the other week, last Sunday, I was there looking for a part for my car I needed, and I get there, and it's locked up. And I'm like, oh, this stinks. I turn, there's a worker right there. And I'm like, hey, I need this. Can you help me with this? He's like, no, I can't, but I'll go get someone. I stood there for a minute. No one comes back. I look down the aisle. No one comes back. He never comes back. And I just left and went to AutoZone. But that's what Jesus never goes back to these Greek men. And he takes such a turn in his discourse here. And he says, hey, now is the time for the Son of Man to be glorified. And we see a lot in the Gospel of John where he's telling people, you see John mentioned, hey, this isn't the time yet. And then Jesus also tells Mary, hey, this isn't my time yet. And then something about these Greek men coming to him triggers something in God's timeline where Jesus says, hey, now is the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. And as a disciple, just hearing that first phrase would get me pretty excited. Like, we're all here. All the Jewish people are gathered in one place. Now is the time for the Son of Man to be glorified. And I'm thinking, this is time to take over. This is it. This is the time. God's going to be glorified. And they're all excited. And then Jesus says something. Truly, truly. It's very important. He says it twice. That's how important it is. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. He was just mentioning glory, and now he's talking about wheat and dying and losing life. And in my mind, this is not how glory is supposed to happen. This is not how we get glory. It's not losing of yourself. Glory is letting your ministry grow, letting your life be known. It's taking, it's gathering, it's everything. And he's saying, no, I'm going to do it by dying. We are so not used to that. Our culture is so not used to that, where we're so comfortable and we're used to, hey, how do we get glory here? How do we like build ourselves up? It's through self-promotion, through taking, through gathering things. And Jesus is saying here, hey, it's actually by losing your life. And further on in this passage, Jesus says, hey, the judgment of the world has come. And in our mind, judgment is like a harsh thing. It's swords, it's violence, it's overthrowing. Judgment is such a harsh word, but Jesus brought judgment by dying. But the judgment wasn't on us, it was on the powers of this world and the ruler of this world. We were not judged, Satan and sin were. The accusers were judged. The powers of this world were judged. It was not a violent overthrow of the powers of the day. It was a laying of a life down. Jesus is directly challenging us today to rethink our lives. Whoever loves his life in this world will lose it. I love my life in this world. I do a lot of things to maintain my life in this world, to make my life look better in this world. And Jesus is saying, if you love your life, you're going to lose it. But if you hate your life in this world, you'll gain eternal life. This is not a message that's easy to hear. Everything we do, our jobs, everything is all about gaining and getting farther ahead and climbing up the ladder and making something of ourselves. And Jesus is saying, you know, it's actually the way of the cross and the way I'm leading you is a life laid down. It's hard for us to think about death because what is death to us? It's usually loss, right? When we think of death, we think it's over. What we were doing here is over. And Jesus is saying, you're missing the point. Death is the beginning. Eugene Peterson was talking about like an early church, there was a phrase preparing people for a good death. Death was actually viewed as good because, to be honest, we have to die to experience eternal life. Like so many times they were afraid of death. And yes, death at a young age, terrible thing. I'm not saying let's all go die today, but we have to be comfortable with death because death leads us somewhere else. But death usually for us feels like loss. It's a very sad end of our lives. If you view our lives as like this is what we're here for, our lives, our pride, our gaining, our name, death always feels like loss. And Jesus is trying to get across, hey, death isn't loss. It's the very beginning of life. The next thing that stuck out to me about this scripture is I don't like being a grain of wheat. That metaphor there, I just can't get along with, and I'm going to tell you why. I loved how the weather was warm this week. Who enjoyed that warm weather throughout this week? It felt like spring was happening. Birds were chirping. Flowers were starting to bloom. And springtime is a great time to think about life. We see it. Flowers coming up out of the ground. Trees starting to get greener again. And I know that myself, I'm not a big gardener. Anyone start gardening in the pandemic? I know that was a big thing. People just started growing stuff in the pandemic because what else were we going to do stuck at our houses? My grandparents, from my English side, oh, I'm English. I'm wearing all black today. Sorry, Ireland. I got beat up by many Irish people back in the day when I said I was English. So my kids are wearing green today for some reason. But my English grandparents, in England, you always had a garden. Like, it was a thing. Like, you out in your backyard, a garden of flowers. So when they moved over here, they had a huge garden in their backyard. And then at one point, they moved, and I had to go over there and help them till the new garden. And that's probably the extent of my gardening. That's all I got. And so I don't think about gardening that much. But Jesus, in that day, was being very relatable to the Jewish people because they're in an agricultural culture. That's what they did. The wheat was all around. They grew things. And I love that he uses this to try to get them to understand life and death. He's trying to explain it to them in a way they would understand. Seeds have to be buried and planted in order for growth. They have to go through a death in order for new life. And I love that God, in his creation, put in a reminder of this cycle. I mean, he could have just said, plants just grow out of nowhere. You don't need that. I mean, that'd be cool. But he put in this reminder in the seed and in death and life and springtime and winter of this reminder of this cycle of new life that happens. And then death is a necessary thing. And we need to start thinking of ourselves as seeds. And I love, one of my favorite imagery in scripture is the garden. Scripture starts out in the Garden of Eden. And then we see Jesus called God the vine dresser, a gardener. And then my favorite verse of all time, Mary's at the tomb on the resurrection day in the tomb garden, weeping, and she looks and sees someone, and John makes clear to say she thought he was the gardener, which I don't think is a mistake by John at all. And yet it was Jesus. And I love this sign of new creation and new life as a garden, that we were once made for the Garden of Eden, and he's returning us to the garden through Jesus' death and life. But we have to be a part of that death. We have to see Jesus and God as the vine dresser pruning us and growing us. To get to new life, we have to die. I don't want to be a seed, though. And this is why. A seed means I have to give up control. As a seed, you have no control. I can't water myself. I can't provide sun for myself or bring forth new life. And that's hard for me to let go. We don't like letting go of control of our lives. We have to trust God with everything. And so as a seed, you're trusting God for the water, you're trusting God for the sun, you're trusting that he'll grow you. And we have to be dependent completely on God. And this is a hard thing for most of us to do. And it's a journey I'm still on myself of saying, God, I trust you as the gardener. You're bringing a new life through me. It's a necessary journey. To be part of the new garden, the garden he's calling us back to, we have to be a seed and be buried and die to ourselves. As I was finishing the Eugene Peterson book this week, it was actually odd timing, maybe it was a God thing, where like the last two chapters actually focused on death. And I was preaching on it this week, and I was like, thanks, God. And I've read that book for a year now, like I'm getting through, it's a big, thick book. And I got to the end where he talks about death, so he has this quote here from Eugene Peterson. It's a part of his book, and he quotes someone else in it. But he says this: resurrection does not have to do exclusively with what happens after we are buried or cremated. And I think that's one of the things we mistake, is like, we either don't think about death at all, or we think death is just the end, and we don't realize there's a spiritual death that we're supposed to be partaking in every day. It does have to do with that, but first of all, it has to do with the way we live right now. Karl Barth reminds us, only where graves are is there resurrection. We practice our death by giving up our will to live on our own terms. Only in that relinquishment or renunciation are we able to practice resurrection. So in order to fully practice resurrection, to fully celebrate Easter, we have to die to ourselves daily. And that's not an easy thing to do. Like I said, being a seed is not fun. Burying ourselves, waiting for God to grow us, waiting for things to work off of us does not feel fun. And to be honest, sometimes it feels like judgment. When he says, I'm judging the ruler of this world, some of that stuff needs to be judged and killed off of us when we're buried. We have to be seeds today. And it's a hard, another thing that stuck out to me was it's a hard thing to hear this type of message. And I got stuck on this part of the scripture this week, just thinking about it. And it's when Jesus says, now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven and said, I have glorified it and I will glorify it again. This is a crazy moment. We've only seen God speak like transfiguration, baptism. This is an audible voice of God. Anyone ever hear an audible voice of God? No, I haven't either. And I don't know if we ever will. Maybe you will. And this audible voice says, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. Then it says this. The crowd that stood there and heard it said, it had thundered. And others said, an angel has spoken to him. And Jesus answered, this voice has come for your sake, not mine. And first thing about that, I find a lot of comfort in the fact that Jesus' soul was troubled. That this was not an easy task for him either. He said, what can I say? God, take this from me. We can find comfort as well from him as we go on this journey of death, because he's dealt with the same sort of fear as we deal with. He's saying, God, can you save me from this? But he doesn't, because then he states, the purpose of this death is for God's glory. That I know what I'm doing. God sent me here for a reason. And I'm going to glorify his name by dying. And once again, that's not the way I would do my ministry, but it happens to be the way Jesus does it. And then God speaks. And I imagine if I heard the audible voice of God, it'd be something I try to write down and remember and pay attention to. And God says that his name will be glorified. It has been glorified. and it will be glorified. And it looks like he's trying to reassure Jesus that the path to the cross is the right way. But then Jesus at the end says, hey, this voice isn't for me, it's for you. And I got stuck on that because of the fact that it says some of the people there said it just thundered. And some said, hey, was that an angel talking to him? And these people couldn't hear the message of God about how glory comes through losing your life. They missed it. All they heard was a rumbling. And some said, this is probably just an angel talking to Jesus. And they couldn't hear that it was actually the voice of God saying, this is the actual way to glory of laying down your life. And I've been in church my whole life. Since I was 3 years old, I've been in church hearing the message of Jesus, hearing the commands to take up my cross. And there's moments where I still think it's the wrong way. I still just view it as just thunder. Like, I'm not listening to it. It's just a rumbling in the distance. I still try to get glory in other ways. And we end our scripture reading every week by saying the word of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Is it just rumblings to us, or are we actually listening to it and applying it to our lives? I can imagine if I was a Jewish person, I know what I would do in that day as a disciple of Christ. I would just hear thunder. I wouldn't want to hear God saying this is the way to life is by giving of yourself. It's not comfortable. And he's still calling us to that today. Are we listening? Are we listening to it? Do we follow his instructions? We can't miss his voice today. And Jesus says it, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. We are Christians, right? Kyle talked about that last week. We're mini messiahs, little Christ. We're called to live the life he laid out for us. So if we're following him, if we're saying we serve him as Christians, we have to follow him. Where did Jesus mean in that moment? To the cross. That this is the way of life, is following me and dying to yourself. Dying to your pride, dying to your life. If you love your life in this world, you will lose it. But if you hate your life, you will gain eternal life. Are we following him to the cross? Are we journeying with him to the cross? Growing up, Good Friday wasn't a thing for me. I grew up, like, Easter was the holiday. Easter was the day, and I loved it. And then when I started looking into it, I'm like, we are skipping past a major point of the gospel, death. Because if we just see resurrection, we forget that to get to that resurrection, we have to die to ourselves. I've recently added a photo to my desk. And Ryan, if you can pull that photo up here. It aims at me. So my computer screen's here. My desk is here. This is by a Ukrainian artist. And I look at it every day, and I'm reminded of death. I'm reminded that this is where I'm supposed to be. This was how the Father was glorified. It makes no sense. When I'm raised up, I'll draw people to myself. This shouldn't draw people to anything. This should send people away. In fact, it did send people away. They scattered at the sight of the cross. This cross was a horrific torture device. As Jesus hung on it, none of the disciples thought he was winning. We see them scatter. Peter goes back to being a fisherman. Disciples are leaving Jerusalem, walking away from it. Because this is not what glory looks like. And yet, God is saying, I will glorify him. And this is how glory is happened, by dying to ourselves. We need to die daily. I need to die daily. I can't be looking to build up my own life. I gotta be looking to lay down my life for others. And maybe today there's some things you can think about how to die daily. Maybe it's laying down your life for others. And maybe, like me, there's some times where you're trying to build and gain some sort of name for yourself. And God's saying, that's not it. It's giving yourself away. And maybe today it's putting to death some of the sin in your life. I mentioned this is tough because it feels like judgment. Getting rid of sin is not an easy thing to do. But I want to encourage you that he's not judging you, he's judging the sin. And in our upcoming confession time today, it'll be a great time to remind yourself, there are some things in you. I need it. There's some things in me I need to put to death. I need to see myself on that cross and be putting those things to death. And maybe today it's just letting your need for control go. You're saying, hey, I can be a seed. I don't need to depend on myself to get myself watered to grow. I'm depending completely on God. I'm willing to be buried in this life to be raised again. We will never experience the full joy of the resurrection ever unless we daily journey to the cross. That new life comes when we die. We are like seeds. Before we get to Easter, let's focus on Good Friday. Let's take up our cross and let's follow Jesus. Let him bring us to the garden of new life. If you guys don't mind standing, we're going to go into our time of confession. Like I said, this is a good time. If there's things that you know you need to kill off in your life, we all have it. We all have those things. And so when we say this prayer, we're reminded of our sin, and we're saying we want these dead. Christ, Paul says we're crucified with Christ. Those things actually died years ago. It's just a realization and a daily dying to ourselves where we partner with the cross and say, you know what, you judged this a long time ago, and I'm willing to hang up there and let it be judged too. So let's say this confessional prayer out loud together today. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, the glory of your name. Amen.